Technorama episode 435, 10th anniversary. Yay! Yay!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I have a friend celebrating their 10th anniversary. Where are the tin or aluminum gifts?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me live in the Binary Studio is...
Oh, hey.
Nice cue.
Fail.
Hey, everybody.
435 shows, and he hasn't got the timing down yet.
I'm still on internet lag.
Yeah, Skype delay, right?
Yeah, Skype delay, yeah. I've got great. 3 seconds. Yeah,
that's right. I'm doing great. I can't believe I'm here. It's actually a little surreal hearing you say that and watching you do it, and we're all sitting here.
Yes.
You've seen us do this before. We've had live shows in Dragon Con.
Seen it, yes, but... Like here. I mean, Mike, you know, the studio that
okay.
Michael built.
Well, we'll go around the horn. We're also joining us in the studio is...
Oh, hey, it's me, Michael Armenenge. Hi.
Apparently the man who built the studio.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I did this. It's my fault.
Welcome to Slice of Sci-Fi. My name is Brian Brown.
There you go.
Oh, he's wait. Still in the old rut.
Oh, well. And next to me is my faithful co-pilot.
Let me get a drink first.
Timing.
My name is Jack Mangan. Thank you.
This is a well-oiled, polished machine.
10 years of
tell you what. After 10 years.
I would expect nothing less.
That's right.
And nothing more.
Nothing more. That's right.
Oh, my.
All right, hang with us, because coming up in this show, we've pretty much got nothing but memories, more memories, and Lambus bread.
It gets better, really.
I hope the next 10 is. Be right back.
Podcast nominations are open until May 31st of 2015 for the 10th Annual Parsec Awards, which recognize excellence in speculative fiction podcasting. This year, there are 16 categories recognizing stories, full cast productions, audio dramas, videos, content creation, fan and newscasts, fact behind the fiction, new podcasters, music, comedy, all that good stuff that makes the speculative fiction podcasting community awesome and nerdy and beautiful. And shows are nominated by their fans and then selected by a committee of experts, so it's fans get input, but it's not just a popularity contest. And if you want to find out more about how to nominate, head to parsecawards.com, and you should really check it out, because it's a very cool thing and a great way for shows to get recognition.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
We try. We really do.
Yes.
Very trying, yes.
Or at least we have fun trying.
True.
What are we trying at?
We're trying for another 10 years?
Sure.
We'll go with that.
Good luck with that.
All right, starting now. Go.
Okay, let's go into the voicemail then, and email, and all the other feedback.
Can we sing along?
Yes, please.
Letters. Oh, we got letters.
Nah, I don't.
We get your letters every day.
Bum, bum, bum.
Mailman, mail today.
For paper to rip.
Reach right out and pull one out.
That wasn't important, was it?
Just a bill.
It's from the government.
It's okay.
Government letter. Ding dong.
Don't do that, Craig.
Okay. He's banging on the table. Yeah, we have shock mounts in most of the microphones.
Yeah,
but not some, yours.
Some of them don't work. Well, it's actually better than...
Play the springs again, Mike.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's
hey,
nice.
The Klingons are coming.
I think that was V'ger.
V'ger. Wow. After all the years being in here.
This is Krampus.
Krampus!
I just saw an article today, something someone put together. So you've heard the Apple Watch, but someone has created the Apple II Watch.
Yes.
It looks kind of like an old Apple II computer. Same beige color.
Yes.
It's got a little dial on the side, so that way you can select your menu items with it.
Oops,
green monochrome monitor and everything. And it even has room for an itty-bitty little floppy disk.
That's so
cool. The thing is adorably cute. I will say it does include some health options. And I'm betting if you play Oregon Trail on there, you'll know when you have dysentery.
I was going to say dysentery, yeah.
There is a video that I point to in the show notes to Instructables. Apparently, there's instructions on how you can make your own. Damn. I don't know if I have to sacrifice my own Apple IIe for this, but that's what this is all about. It looks like a Johnny Ivy video here. We've taken the best of what makes the Apple II beautiful and elegant.
Mostly monochrome.
And for the first time ever, we made it smaller.
We've brought back the bulk. The green screen. No more tiny knobs. Crafted from the finest South African
aluminum
plastic.
It's so big, it'll be bigger than the biggest watch out there.
Dual floppy drives means you can store twice as much data.
I want one.
You can play VGA Trek.
I want the Commodore 64 watch,
yeah,
actually.
I'm with you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Or TRS 81.
It gets slower as the day goes on. You know, it's like 3 days behind.
Sad. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It doesn't have Wi-Fi. It has 300K.
Yeah,
no, 300 baud.
Yeah. 300 baud. Right, yeah. Yep.
Speaking of 300 baud, watch our Technorama feed page on a feed or a page. What is it?
It's a page on
Facebook.
Blog.
Yesterday, Craig Stepp and Tim Adamek and I did a photo teardown of a K Pro 4. This was something that my dad used to run his business. It was a CPM machine. Z80, 64K of memory, 9-inch green screen, dual full-height floppy drives. Very interesting facts we found in here. I'm going to write up some blog text to go with it.
And let me tell you, there is DNA evidence all in that keyboard.
Yes. Tomasi DNA evidence. That's right.
We have the motherboard right here in the studio.
There you go.
This is the, parallel port.
Look at the beauty.
Mm-hmm. We've compressed what used to be a 14-inch motherboard. The RAM is now compressed onto these 8 tiny chips.
And the entire processing and computing power of that now fits on a micro resistor.
Oh, yeah. One of those dots pebble that you put in a greeting
tiny
card.
Tiny, tiny little dot. Yes.
That's terrible. So look for that. Craig got some very impressive pictures inside the floppy drive.
Oh, yeah.
Inside and behind the power supply. It looks like a tiny city. And
I
some
take
of these,
you inside the computer.
As if you were.
As if you were to walk through it. That's right.
Like you've never seen before.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing. Hold on. We got more mail.
Hey, hopefully this is Technorama.
Hopefully.
This is Jack Jaffe, a.k.a. Trucker Overdrive. Hey, how long would you play those old games? Not really the question, but it was the topic I came up with.
Okay, I got to give you a little backstory for the listeners who have just joined us. We ask a weekly listener question, and the question about 4 weeks ago was, if you could download or play some of those old video games, let's say you fired up your old NES or your old Sega Genesis.
Atari.
Atari 2600.
Yes.
And you went, for the nostalgia, everybody goes, oh, that would be so much fun to play those again. How long would you actually play them? Because a lot of those games just don't have the interest level that they once did. When that's all you had, that's all, that was your total world, and that's what was interesting. But would
Zork,
it still...
Hey, it was Infocom games I'd play all day long.
Yeah, but I played my Genesis a lot. Yeah. I mean, I have an emulator, so I play it. I occasionally will fire up games I like, especially like Shining in the Darkness, the games that last a while. I mean, most of them are RPGs, so they last a longer time as opposed to like playing Altered Beast or something
like that. Yeah, we don't know you anymore, Chuck.
Yeah,
who are you?
Here's my sample set, though.
Okay.
I had a true Pong game. And I thought, as the girls were getting older, it might be fun to introduce them some retro games. Pong, maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It really wasn't there.
Yeah, but I mean, even the old NES games, I had my old NES that I kept for a long time just for Swords and Serpents because I loved that game.
It's a good game.
I mean, simple, simple graphics, simple game, but incredible gameplay and really engaging.
Yeah, I would play Castlevania right now for the next 6 hours if you said
come on
it.
Over here.
Yeah. We'll hook you up, Jack.
Hey, wait. So Chuck is probably just like, hey, kids, put your iPads down. Come play Pong. That's why we can do it.
Castle Wolfenstein?
Yes. The original one on the Apple II, I could fire that up right now.
Hoss pass. Right. Hoss pass.
No, you have to say it in that 8-bit digital voice.
Halt.
Hoss pass.
Yeah, that's just like, true.
That is, what do you say? Hall pass? And Chuck,
that is Mecha.
That was, that was pretty good, by
that
the way.
That is Mecha Hitler.
Mecha Hitler! Yeah!
There it is.
You win the Cards Against Humanity reference. Let's find out what Trucker Overdrive has to say for the rest of his minute and a half here.
I recently came across GOG.com. Dang it for those guys.
Good old games.
Basically, they have all the old Sierra Online games back before Sierra made like that Half-Life game, then just became Valve, and then became Steam, and now they're just a distribution company. Well, they used to make games, and they had King's Quest, Police Quest, Space Quest, which was all basically a remosh of Leisure Suit Larry. Well, then they also came up with Phantasmagoria 1 and 2, which were basically Leisure Suit Larry, but in a zombie-filled dark fantasy world thing or whatever, with live-action FMPs. Well, you get, like, the whole series of games, like, the whole, like, Leisure Suit Larry series, the whole King's Quest series for only $15. Now, a lot of these games are released on CD-ROM, so it's kind of cool that they're, like, you get, like, the whole game, and now with, you know, digital downloads and everything, you can just download the whole thing DRM-free and play it for $15, and there's about, like, 10 hours of gameplay per game.
For $15?
That's pretty good, actually.
Some of the packs have, like, 5 or 6 games in them. And, you know, I've been replaying them with my wife, and, you know, we'll play them through, like, an hour or two or whatever. I get stuck. There's the walkthroughs and stuff, and it's actually, I mean, that's really fun. I mean, Brand, that's not as bad as old Pong, and I only have to go to my laptop to get them. But, yeah, some of those retro things are, you know, they do have real replay value.
Okay.
You know, just has to be a little bit better than Pong. Anyway, see you guys.
Why does everybody bash on me?
or Leisure Suit Larry. I could never get into that.
We did play Space Quest quite a bit on the PC Junior.
Oh, yeah.
And that actually had some long play time, too. We did King's Quest, and we did Space Quest after that. And I actually preferred Space Quest just because they had the Blues Brothers and ZZ Top in there.
Okay.
That's true.
And they came up with the word Buckazoids.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
We do another one?
Sure.
It's the conversation.
Some people assume that doing a podcast is a straight line from intro to outro, but it's not. It's a great big ball of wibbly-wobbly Technorama-y stuff.
Okay, that's a reference to last week's show when we had to stop putting the birthdays much later. We finished on this day in history and went, wait, I forgot to edit in the birthdays.
Yeah.
So during the second break, I ran over and got my laptop and read the birthdays for the famous people. And then everybody could laugh at me for mispronouncing the names. But
oh, that's a change.
Hey, Mike, you know what? It sounds like Chuck was drinking on his podcast.
No, it could be. It
sounds very familiar to me.
I tell you, that
happens
a lot.
On Saturday.
It happens on Saturday.
One of those days. Ends with
the one
day.
That has the two in it.
It ends with a Y. Yeah. I'll get it.
The first drink of the day.
Wait a minute before you go on. I see that Mark is saying that Mark Kilfoy said, let's face it, Pong was only cool if Ping was involved. Tim Elliott said he loved the original Leisure Suit Larry. And
I just couldn't justify spending 8 hours just to see some digital 8-bit side boob. It was just like
the promise of nudity.
I know.
It never quite
coalesced. It was just a lot of really bad 14-year-old dick jokes.
Pretty much, yeah.
What else?
Hey, that's the reason I snuck in a lot of R-rated movies.
Oh, okay.
You know, the promise of not quite delivering.
All right, we have a voicemail from Jeremy Kyle. You got it now, Craig?
Yeah.
AKA Shadowbird.
Yeah, you're the one that keeps messing it up.
Hey, guys. It's Jeremy calling the listener in line for the first time in forever. Your question from a couple of weeks ago was least favorite superhero movie.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting
honestly,
there. We're getting there.
Yeah, I know this is probably going to be a common pick. But for me, it's Batman and Robin.
Oh, that's a good one.
A lot of the things that they did with that movie just couldn't save it at all. Of course, fortunately for me, at that time, I believe I was watching the Batman animated show, so I actually got a better version of Mr. Freeze from that than I ever did watching any of the movies.
What are you trying to say?
It's a shame because, well, Mr. Freeze is actually a pretty interesting character. Some of his depictions, including Arnold Schwarzenegger's, notwithstanding. Anyway, that's my response to your question of the week. Just wanted to let y'all know, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
10 years. God, I've been going since the original days of podcasting and still going strong.
Oh, yeah.
As I've mentioned before, y'all are a great inspiration to me personally, podcasting. So how can I not send a my good wishes?
Because if we can do it,
anybody can do it. Yeah.
Later, y'all. 101.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right, he brings up last...
Wait a minute,
show's
I'm still
question.
Reeling on the part where we're a big inspiration.
That's exactly. I was just reeling because you guys are role models. Sorry, let me out.
Cylons rule. Craig's headphones don't fit anymore.
Oh, man, they're too tight.
I learned it by watching you.
Whose drugs are these?
All right, going around the horn, Craig, what's your least favorite superhero movie?
The Joel Schumacher Batmans.
Any of them?
Yes, both of them.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Just, he took the visual part of what was cool about Tim Burton's Batman, and then he started adding camp on it, and it sucked. It just didn't work.
Easy. Fantastic Four. The lines and the role that they gave Jessica Alba just absolutely makes that unwatchable. I cannot handle
her. It could have been so much more. It just...
Yeah.
I think it had all the pieces there.
It did. They did. They had a good cast. Actually, I liked the cast. I even liked Jessica Alba and stuff that she's done decent, if they give her decent lines. But it was so horribly written. And the way it was written to talk down to the audience for 2 hours. And by the end, it's just like, I just feel insulted.
Name one Jessica Alba role you liked.
Oh, dark.
Okay, Idle Hands.
Idle Hands.
There you go.
Sin City.
Okay. So, well, she's horrible in that.
I was trying to stump Michael,
they didn't
but
give her anything. Yeah.
I was trying to stump Michael, but whatever.
Yeah. Brian, her original series was really excellent.
Yeah. Superman 4.
Oh, not three. You had to go for four.
Quest for Peace. Horrible movie.
Quest for Nonsense.
Gosh. Terrible movie. I would, you know, Star Trek, what is it? The one, Quest for, Five? Yeah,
Five.
Five's right
the
there.
For God.
But unfortunately, it's not a superhero movie. So
True.
I mean, it's the one poster he doesn't have up.
I know, exactly.
But right? I do have.
Yeah. For reasons.
Yeah, it's hidden. Superman 4. Horrible.
How can a movie with Lex Luthor's evil nephew be anything but amazing?
That's right.
You're right, Jack. I need to rethink my values.
I tell
you. Yes.
Come back next week.
What Jack, do you have a least favorite?
Brian just totally stole it.
Yes.
I mean, that is a very good choice.
You can always back down and go with the Richard Pryor third one.
No, I like the third one.
I like the third one.
It was
Did
fun.
You? Yeah. I've seen that. Richard Pryor carried that entire movie.
Is Superman Actually. Supposed to be fun?
Well, yeah.
Actually, it was more of a comic.
I'm with you, Brian.
All together
I
now.
I love the melody and harmony on that. Come on, man. Nicotine and kryptonite? That is awesome. See?
Wasn't he like an 8-bit Superman at some point in that movie, too? There was like a video game scene.
Yes.
Oh, my.
See, now you know why Mike and I podcasted together for so many years. Because we're like, it's like you and Craig sometimes.
Well, scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Yeah.
That scary connection.
It is.
Actually, I'll go out there and throw out something that I have not seen as probably the worst ever. It's got to be the Hasselhoff Nick Fury movie. I haven't seen it, so maybe it's brilliant, but I'm going to put that there.
It is. It's comic genius.
Was that made in Bollywood or something?
No.
In Germany. No,
of course it is.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to throw
on Netflix
one out there.
In Germany.
This was not on my list, but what about Howard the Duck?
No, I love Howard the Duck.
did it again.
Yeah.
Oh, look at there.
We do.
There are more. There's more to hate than to love, but there is still some redemption in that.
Okay.
Movie.
Yeah.
Is that a superhero movie though? I mean, is that?
Well, comic related.
It's a comic related.
Technically, okay. Yes. But
okay, then I'm going for Spider-Man 3.
Oh,
staying alive
and singing.
Emo wow. Spider-Man. I would go with that. That's pretty bad, actually.
Yeah. That one's right in the bottom of the.
I mean, the list of bad are just it's long and distinguished.
I'd say almost Amazing Spider-Man 2 is kind of right up there with Spider-Man 3. It's pretty close. Bad.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah.
I didn't like the new series that much.
The first one was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, the first one. You're right. The first one was okay. The second one, I was like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we're getting way off.
Yes.
All right. We're out of voicemail, but we do have some email. We have one from AD Dude. He says, Hey, guys. First off, congrats on 10 years. Thank you very much.
Yes.
It seemed like just yesterday that
you
I first.
A role model, too. I'm sorry.
That I first listened to the show. Of course, I kind of developed a thick skin. Oh, wait. I kind of developed some memory problems. So I've got a quantum leap Sam Beckett Swiss cheese memory thing going on. That's a very good description. I know how you feel. Long story short, you can't trust my judgment on memories.
Aha!
So we don't actually know if he likes it or not.
Okay.
Wait. He didn't say whether he likes it or not. He just says it's been a long time.
It's deflection.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're not getting
it. He's trying to cover his bases is what it is.
This is like a politician's testimonial or something.
This is a very left-handed compliment.
Second off, in the last episode, you asked which people thought was the worst superhero movie, and it's Howard the Duck.
No.
I've seen a lot of superhero movies with a lot of stuff. Shrek, Hulks, odd swamp things, bat nipples, ice puns, most of the Punisher movies, Shaq as Steel.
Oh, that would be a good one. Yeah, Shaq as Steel.
That was my next one. Yeah.
And I do agree with the Daredevil movie.
Music from the Daredevil movie.
Except for the director's cut.
Yes. Yeah, except for the director's cut. The director's cut redeems that and makes that a totally awesome movie, actually.
All of that was fairly bad, but only Howard the Duck movie had me just question movies, comic books, and my own judgment on life.
It was a comic in itself.
It left me messed up. I mean, it is pretty bad. Like, yeah, don't watch. Okay. Now to happier topics. Some of the things I most remember of your show over the last 10 years. I do remember some of the show's interview you had. I especially remember Michio Kaku, since I finished reading his book when the interview came on. I always made sure to listen to the birthday shout-outs around my birthday. Sounds like most people. It's my birthday. I better listen to Technorama.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't do a show this week.
Yeah.
I remember when I submitted my review for the Sarah Jane Adventures and you played it. Still remember, Chuck, repeating the line of mine that the young Slitheen, quote, were like my nephews, both adorable and terrifying, unquote. Honestly, I remember being on the chat room during the shows. I always enjoyed those. Stuff often keeps me from making it on Sunday night now, but I do remember having fun when I did manage to make it. Even if I can't make it to the chat, I make sure to listen to the podcast on my iPod. What is this iPod?
The iPod thing, yeah.
Is that the thing with the circle on it?
No, that's what he sits in to listen to it.
It's the thing that started this whole craziness in the first place.
Okay, you know,
the podcasting.
But not named after it.
No, of course not.
No.
Are we still... Okay, we have to tell the story about Mike and what was her name? His wife's name at the conference. Remember, we met him going down the elevator.
Must be a different Mike.
Yeah, I was going to say
different
what?
Mike, different Mike. We're at the conference and we strike up this conversation. And I said, "Yeah, Craig and I were doing a live show on Wednesday. We also do a podcast." And she goes, "Oh, really? What is it?" And I thought she meant, what is a podcast? So I launch into the reactionary, it's like an internet radio show. And I'm going on, and she stops me at about 10 seconds, goes, "I know what a podcast is."
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
It just becomes so reactionary after 10 years. All right. It says, "Thanks for the 10 years of geeky joy. You've managed to bring a little more joy into my life. And I'm sure of many of your other listeners. You guys should be proud of that fact. We are very happy we bring you such joy, AD Dude."
Yes, right.
"P.S. I think I sent you a picture of the Spider-Man/Stormtrooper.
Oh, yeah.
Did that happen too?
I think I remember seeing that.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, it was all blue and red.
That's one at least for my Swiss cheese memory.
Okay, wait a minute. Breaking news. Victor Kajal.
Whoa!
Says that we were also his inspiration. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, yeah. Corroborated evidence on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm
believing. Don't believe anything that you see on the internet.
Yeah, no, believe everything.
Somebody signed in with Victor's name.
Yeah, did he say keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars? Something like that, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who inspired that guy too? Yeah.
Hey, actually, Tim Elliott says that he didn't know about the Mythbusters till our interview with Adam.
What?
Yeah.
That was 10 years ago.
Nope.
Yes. Well,
that's when we did it.
I mean,
the Mythbusters were like a year or two old.
And we're still milking that fact.
That's right. We interviewed Adam Savage.
What did we just record yesterday? We threw his name in the recording.
Yeah.
Because on the YouTube channel, you want one of those little promos that says, what is this channel about? We said, we don't have one. So since Craig and I are here, we recorded a quick little thing yesterday. And we threw that fact out again. It's 10 years old.
Am I wrong? I mean, he's on the hook, right?
Yeah. Did the same thing with Deadpan. Like, my good friend, Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, was a...
my good friend. Yeah.
We went out for beers. Right. Came on the show.
Name dropper.
and you guys from Slice could outdo us all in a, you know...
It's your 10-year anniversary. We're going to be nice.
Yeah, we won't say that, you know... Don't we interviewed Dr. Michiko Kaku before you guys did as well.
Three times.
You know,
we've had Adam and Jamie on.
Moving right along.
So
we had Carrie Byron as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter Mayhew was in the studio.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
But it's your 10th anniversary.
That's right. We wouldn't want to do that because it would just be so uncool. Yeah.
Here's a quote from Mark Kilfoyle. Technorama interviewing people before you care about them since 2005.
Very nice, Mark.
Before they care about the person being interviewed or before you care about us?
Probably both.
Is that like Surrender Dorothy?
Yeah.
If they put a comma in there, it'd make it a lot clearer.
Surrender Dorothy.
Turn her over, please. All right, Matt Marv writes in. He has an evil April Fool's joke. He says, this was the best... Most April Evil Fools. Wait.
Evil April Fools?
Yes.
That's a
joke
one.
Of the year,
that's
in my opinion. Kind. It puts a BSOD on your camera, but only on April 1st. And he shows me an image, which we're redirecting to,
this is.
Oh, it's a troll face.
Wait. There it is. Yeah, that's a lovely piece.
Yeah, this is a third-party firmware you can install on your camera, and apparently they...
So you can blue screen of death your camera? Awesome.
Would you not be ticked if you were trying to shoot a wedding and that shows up?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what fool would get married on April 1st?
Fools in love, Chuck. Fools in love.
Why do fools fall in love?
That's a good question.
Now we're getting into the songs again.
And we're getting philosophical as well.
Far, far away from that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one from Yorga a few weeks back. We asked... Name the networked devices in your house, and this turned into a mushroom cloud of things. We should have said what devices are not networked in your house.
That's right. I was going to say, no, we don't want to go down that. That takes forever.
Just looking around here, I see plenty.
Right.
Yes.
We went through my list a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yorga writes back, he says, first, thanks for pointing me to Daredevil. As for the question about network devices, he's got a Super Micro 1U server running my gateway, OpenBSD, and two zones for small tools like AdBlock, GoToService, all in the house developed.
He has a 4U server
as well? He has a Super Micro 4U SAN NAS, also has a few zones because it has more resources for stuff like Plex, Raspberry Pi,
nice.
GPS/PPS, backend NTP server. You know what's crazy? All these letters we're throwing out, and the listeners know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Someone have Raspberry Pi?
Craig, just go, I like cheese.
I like cheese.
There you go. You know, I'm not sure I like having Craig in here. His timing is actually on, and we can't roll over the top of him. Yeah, right. He actually gets comments in now.
I got to fly in every weekend.
Steamroll Craig next week.
Yeah, next week, buddy, you're not getting any words.
That's right. No,
nothing.
No airtime.
Wait,
I'm just gonna watch the stream and just. Hey, there's something must be wrong here.
Yeah, my headphones just went out. What happened there?
Jerk.
Proud of it. He's got an Airport Extreme AP, an Airport Express AP, MacBook Pro desktop, Canon wireless printer, iPhone, Nexus 6, Chromecast, Sony TV, Sony AV receiver, HTPC, PS3, DSi, ABC, XYZ, PDQ, UPS. Those are just the physical things with an IP. There are also two TP link switched, and wow, there are a few VMs, eight or so. Eight VMs?
Eight VMs? What are you running on eight VMs? Do you have a
lots of stuff, obviously.
By the way, Mark Kilfoyle says, sadly today, Technorama dissolved into a series of disconnected letters.
That sums up this part of the show.
Wait. We will put in the history thing in just a minute next.
No, they're not just letters. They're TLAs, three-letter acronyms.
Yeah, there we go.
Everybody runs on them.
FYI.
Now, we also asked, I think it was one of our first listener feedback questions a few weeks ago, what was the first thing you pirated?
Oh.
All right, think about that while Jorgen gives us his response. First pirated stuff was probably some floppies with some DOS games. Oh, yeah, PCs with turbo button. Did anyone turn those off?
No way.
Wide open.
AT form factor was scary, though AC current was mobo. Yikes. Not sure what the other questions were anymore.
So, well, besides the music, going away from the music altogether, because, you know, everybody recorded music.
Well, yeah, I think
mixtapes and stuff like that.
So. Recording from the radio was technically not allowed.
Exactly. But going away from that, I would say my first was programs for Trash 80, because we had a store in town that would rent games to you. So I'd take them home and I'd burn them and you'd take them back.
Copy them, because there was no copy
protection. There was no copy protect then. No, yeah. not at all.
And even when there was, there were programs that came out and got around it.
Well, and I had my TSR-80 actually had floppies in it. So because a lot of them had started out with tape drives. Well, I started out with a tape drive, but I put the first dual 360 floppies in it, the 5 1/4.
Ooh.
And so I had floppies that I could burn all my programs to. So I was like technically ready to steal all these great games. And boy, I use them to this day. That was a great that was a great use of time.
All those educational programs that you just never use.
Exactly, I tell you.
Let's play Letter Detective.
Don't fence me in. There you go. That game was awesome.
Wow.
Brian?
I don't know if I want to put this on tape or not.
Tape? Well, lucky for you, it's not on tape.
Yeah. So I was part of a Commodore 64 crack ring. So I was cracking games.
Wow. Yeah. Did you have like the splash screen and everything?
Yeah, I was part of the splash screen, as a matter of fact. So my name was on a lot of old Commodore 64 games.
Would you reveal your code name?
Yeah, I was the Gray Elf.
Oh, you know what mine was?
The NSA wants to talk to you.
I was Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, I know. It's like common names for everything, you know? Like, yeah. There's like probably 50 Gray Elves, so good luck finding me. So, same with Conan the Barbarian. So, but yeah, I used to crack games, and we used to do it all the time. Distribute games. We get new games in. Somebody would buy them, and then we'd crack them and then distribute them wherever we could. So,
wow.
Yeah, I did lots of pirating.
Did you guys ever watch that show from Jason Day, called BBS? It's a series on YouTube.
Yes.
Really?
Called BBS, and he goes through the history of bulletin boards. It's very fascinating.
Oh. Yeah, I was big on the bulletin board scene.
I think
for
I
sure.
heard about this.
And there's even like an extra segment about the ASCII artists. People used to draw the ASCII art for like splash screens and things.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, you log into this bulletin board and this beautiful splash screen comes up at 1200 baud.
Yeah, no.
only to get the crappiest user interface after that.
Actually, who remembers the game Moria?
Yeah, I do.
Moria was like a dungeon crawl, but the whole thing was ASCII.
Did you pirate that, Jack?
I may have. But I was foiled by, you know, when it says on page 7 of the manual, what is the 20th word? And I was completely foiled. Remember, that was the copy protection.
The book codes.
I am so in. Oh, what?
Yeah. Right.
Or the discs, you know. And that was one of the things you do as a cracker. You figure out the code, and then you basically add a little program that you'd run on the side.
Yeah.
That basically would give you the code. The gold box games were a big one for D&D. They'd always have, you know, you need this elven rune and this dwarven rune. You twist them together and you get this number. And basically, it's just, you know, once you figured out the code and you could basically make a chart. Mm-hmm. It was really easy.
Because you could log into the bulletin board and get that chart.
Pretty much. Yes. Yeah, well, we provided it with our cracked games, of course.
Ah.
We're a one-stop shop.
Well, the games you had to crack because you lost the stupid book for the book code, or you, or it, something changed. You're not sure what changed, but something changed, and the book code jumped a page. I had one of those that just pissed me off. I think it was there was a glitch in the program, and so it must have jumped a line as it was reading the code. So whatever the book code was, it actually became the next one.
Jeez.
So the next one that was in the line, so after you play it long enough, you know which one's which, and you kind of highlight them off so that you know which one's going to come up winning.
Don't tell Richard Garriott, but I have a pirated copy of Ultima in the closet.
We won't bring that up, and then we have him on the interview next time.
Even has a photoed copy keystroke shortcut.
Nice.
And the other one that I have a book from is Robot War, which is a programming game. It teaches you how to be a very efficient programming game. A couple of Thanksgivings ago, I fired it up on that Apple, and it ran. Well, it kinda had a tough time. Yeah, we had to kind of kickstart it a couple times. You put the floppy in, and it goes, read error.
You had to get out and push.
Take it out.
Yeah. No, Chuck, you never blow on the discs.
It's a fallacy. I was blowing on drive.
It's a Chuck thing.
Oh, okay.
Turn it on. It starts to boot, brings up the Robot War splash screen, and then gives you an IO error. So after about six of these, we finally got the thing up to run. And my buddy Scott was there, and we wrote these apps in 1982.
Is this the Scott I know?
Scott Reynolds.
Oh, Scott Reynolds. Yeah.
Scott Tyler.
Tyler, yep.
And here are some of the... I commented my code back then.
Wow.
And the comment character was a left square bracket.
Okay.
A right square bracket. And we put the comments there. It says, written by Charles William Tomasi. I would never sign any of my code today. And B, I wouldn't use my full legal name.
That's right.
And then my favorite was, designed by William T. Helwig... And it said, what was it? Something like Code Monkey, Charles William Tomasi.
Nice.
Wow.
But so blowing on your discs, real quick aside there, I just got a brand new, I mean, it was just out of the box, IBM compatible, and that had the 3.25 floppies in it and so forth. Ooh. But it had a whole bunch of the packing foam, you know, you get all the little styrofoam balls and so forth all over it.
Yeah.
So it was getting into the drive and so forth. So I thought, okay, no problem. So I reach over to grab my compressed air to basically blow the drives out. And I had grabbed the contact cleaner with the lubricant. And I just totally doused the entire inside of that freaking 3.5.
At least you didn't grab the spray-on cheese or something.
Glue, you know, whatever.
And it was like, no.
Oh,
my gosh. This thing's brand new, and I already have to do a teardown to replace a freaking drive.
Yeah. So, Jeremy... Keel.
Kyle.
Why do I keep messing that up? I think he needs to change his name.
He needs to change his name.
All right. So he says he remembers hunting down no CD cracks for games. Oh, yeah. Tim Elliott said, old DOS games. He's mentioning sector by sector floppy copy.
Oh, yeah.
And then Norton Ghost could do sector copies. Mark Kielfoy said, now remember, Mark lives in the wilderness of Canada. So
it's Canada.
Canada, yeah.
Canuckistan.
That's right.
Canuckistan.
He says when he was a kid, there was only one store that sold Commodore 64 software about 45 minutes away from his home, yet every C64 owning kid had lots of software.
Amazingly enough, yeah.
Amazing. You know, 45 minutes away from his home was only 300 feet.
Yeah.
No.
Through 12 feet of snow both ways.
And Jeremy is also mentioning copying Masters of Orion.
Oh, I always thought it was intriguing that they sold these the games on bootable discs, but yet someone would crack them and turn it into a single file that you could put lots of other games on the same floppy. Mm-hmm. So I'm like... seemed like a waste of floppies.
It was
to me.
A huge waste. There's so much extra space on the floppies. They just you're like, what can you do? Well, we can release the 15 games. You know, that's where Cracking Circle was. We're like, what do we do? We're like,
floppy disks were expensive. They started out like $5 a pop.
Yeah.
Look at the boxes they came in. It was a box, and there's like a piece of paper and a floppy, and there was like all this dead space in there.
Yeah, it's true if you buy a single disc, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to buy them in packs, I think, what, 10 maybe? Five? Five,
yeah,
so I think 5.
10s were like the Verbatims and the Data Lives and the...
The only game that was worth the box was Infocom because it always came with cool stuff in it.
That's true, actually. Mm-hmm. The games themselves, true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the games. Oh, we never played the out music.
10 years sucks. 10 years.
It's all right.
I say that because we need to go right into the history because we're 40 minutes into the show. This usually comes around at about 10.
Hey, it's 10 years. We can do whatever we want.
Right. That's right. This show's kind of all out.
On this day in history for April 29th, 2015, here we go.
Oh, boy. Brace yourselves,
this
kids.
This is the 119th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 246 days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1770 that James Cook arrives at... and names the Botany Bay in Australia.
Gone!
Botany Bay! We have to get out of here!
Yeah. The Electromote. Forerunner of... What are you laughing?
I just
That's
love
a great
the,
name.
The marketing name, yeah.
Forerunner of the trolleybus is tested by Ernst Werner. Ah! You didn't
keep
get
going.
Me that time.
No, keep going.
Ernst Werner? Von Siemens.
Siemens!
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 It's almost as good as when he's on Skype, Chuck.
Oh my God. Screw you guys, I'm going home. In 1882 or something like that, whatever. All right.
Oh, April 29th, 1945,
You get the fun one.
Dachau contraception, concentration. Concentration camp.
Oh my!
Oh, that's so.
We're going to be hearing from.
I saw it. I thought it, and I said it wrong.
Great.
So sorry.
Now we have angry Jew listeners.
Sorry.
I like concentration. Anyway, concentration camp is liberated by the United States troops.
That same date in 1953, the first U.S. experimental 3D television broadcast showed an episode of Space Patrol on Los Angeles ABC affiliate KECA-TV.
Because it works so well as a radio show.
Yeah, why
so
not?
So did Gunsmoke. Yeah.
Jack,
can you read?
Yes, I will scoot over.
Hey, you're in my space, buddy.
All right, where are we?
Right there. Do that one. Right.
Pakistan.
Pakistan Space and Upper Atmosphere Research Commission, SUPARCO. Successfully launches its seventh rocket in its Rebur series 50 years ago today.
Woohoo! After refusing induction into the United States Army the day before, citing religious reasons, Muhammad Ali is stripped of his boxing title on this date in 1967.
And it was 47 years ago today that the controversial musical Hair, a product of the hippie counterculture and sexual revolution in the 1960s, opens at the Biltmore Theater in Broadway, with its song becoming the anthems of the anti-Vietnam War movement.
Also in 1974, President Richard Nixon announces the release of edited transcripts of White House tape recordings related to the scandal.
Ooh. They kind of sounded like Craig's microphone a little while ago. They cut in and out. There were missing pieces. It said they were edited tapes. Come on.
This day in 1986, American and European spy satellites captured the ruins of the fourth reactor at the Chernobyl power plant.
Wow.
It was 11 years ago today that Oldsmobile builds its final car, ending 107 years of production.
That was in 2005. Wait a minute. We have an editing glitch here.
Right.
Okay, try it. Oh, it's my turn. I was going to say, try this unedited, but
Syria
I have done
takes
this.
Over making Oldsmobiles.
No.
Wait, no, what's wrong?
Syria completes withdrawal from Lebanon, ending 23... This has nothing to do with anything we care about. It's deleted.
Okay.
The wedding...
Well, Syrians cared about it.
Wait a minute.
No, it's just like the Nixon tapes.
This is much more revisioning history. I'm revising history. I went back. This is much more interesting. The wedding of Prince William, Duke of Cambridge, and Kate Middleton on this date in 2011. Okay, let me start. Happy birthday goes out of the state to... Scottish English physician and polymath, whatever a polymath is, John Arbuthnot, born on this date in 1667.
Right, you got it, laddie.
Go for it, Craig.
Oh, wait, where am I at?
Henri.
Henri Poincaré.
Not bad.
That's pretty close.
The French mathematician, physicist, and engineer was born on the same date in 1854.
Also born today in 1863, William Randolph Hearst, American publisher and politician, founded the Hearst Corporation and then built his big castle.
Astronomer Forrest Ray Moulton was born today in 1872.
Businessman and financier and all-around nice guy, Bernie Madoff turned 77 today.
You couldn't have a better name for that guy. He made off with everyone's money.
Yes, right. He did.
The lead singer from Tommy James and the Shondells, Frank Sinatra, Tommy James, turned 68 today.
Comedian, actor, and producer Jerry Seinfeld is 61.
What's up with that?
Kate Mulgrew is 60 today. Captain Janeway, wish you a happy birthday.
And Jan Brady, Eve Plum, is 57.
Wow, I feel so old.
I meet you, Mike. I'm right
Marcia,
there with
Marcia,
you.
Marcia.
And finally, Uma Thurman, the bride, is 45.
Wow. And that's the way it was, whether you know it or not. Whether we said it right or not, on this day in history for April 29th, 2015, I made a 6-minute and 17-second version of this song, and we just about used up the whole darn thing.
Let's get to the end.
Okay, it used to be 3 minutes and 20 seconds. That was the longest I had. I said, we better make a longer one.
Hey, let's do some alternate history.
So here comes the final key. Let's march with the band right out the door.
Bye, guys. Enjoyed it.
Why does Animal House come to mind?
I have an urge to make a car out of a cake, or a cake into a car.
Say, is it over when the Japanese, you know, when the Germans invaded Pearl Harbor?
That's right.
Hell no!
Yeah.
We just got marched into an alleyway.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Hey, look at that. It's the end of show time.
Really?
Yeah,
we made it through.
Keep on going. Wait a minute.
Keep on going. Oh! Oh, V-ger. We do have the birthday calendar, so let's go through the listener birthday calendar. And April 29th, we have Shepherd Tom from Outside the Known Universe.
Really? Wow.
I think that's outstanding.
Wait.
What?
Mark pointed out a good fact.
What's that?
On this day in history, we don't have us listed.
Because it's May 1st. This is to the date.
Okay.
May 1st is the birthday of Technorama.
Okay. So it'll be in the next show.
No. We only hit Wednesdays.
Okay. Well, I'm just...
Which means about every 7 years or so, you'll hear the same crap.
Mark looks up to us so much. So, I don't want to disappoint him.
So, Craig, how long have you been doing the show again? One more time? Just thought I'd, you know, you still haven't figured it out?
10 years.
He has nothing to do with the production of that segment.
Really? No.
Really?
Or I would be getting the names.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, also 29th, we have Timothy Carey. Jack Jaffe, who called in earlier, is on the 29th. And Earl Newton, I know he's not a listener, but he was involved with the Podcasting for Dummies companion podcast. So happy birthday to him. We threw him in there. April 30th is Julio from Tijuana.
Yeah.
You know, we should stop and see him sometime when we're in San Diego, Craig, because we're right next door.
That's right.
May 3rd is K.L. Wright, long-term listener, long-time listener.
Long-term listener?
Yes.
Long-term.
It's like a long-term contract with Technorama.
Yep, they're terminal listeners.
Yes, that's what it is.
Leon is the same day. May 5th, we have three people. Charles Strickland, who used to do the WordPress podcast. Don't know if still that's around. Rev Chumley, who is, Cult of UHF?
Yes.
Oh, I got that one right, finally. And Joe...
Yeah.
Michalski.
Yeah.
I love the Polish names.
Yeah. I know him from Charlotte. He actually lives in Charlotte area.
Oh, okay. Host of On the Podcast.
I guess I need to put my name in there because I'm on May 6th.
Durr.
That's the next show. But we're off for a couple of weeks.
I'll see how you are.
There's something going down here.
There are people. The
people watching the show this week, you will see all kinds of extra bodies walking through the
crawling around,
opening doors.
I don't know
where
they're crawling around because I'm certainly going to call them out.
Toxic waste.
They're actually spreading toxic waste throughout the studio here.
Yeah,
we need
that.
Something to improve the show.
10 years from now, you'll have it down.
if this was your first time ever listening or watching Technorama,
we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You're welcome, is what I say.
This is not our normal format, but this was very just a reminiscence of and a collection of fun that we've had over the last 10 years. And it really has been fun, rewarding in so many ways, shapes, and forms that I just say thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to the people in this room. You've had a huge impact on what this show has become and who we are and where we are, including where we live now.
Well, not only the friendships you've formed over the years. Yeah. That's the biggest thing that I've always taken away from all this.
Yep.
All the people I've met and become friends with. And that is, you can't measure that in any amount of currency. So
here.
Thank you.
Here.
Cheers.
And I would be remiss if I did not thank our regular donors who have been contributing to
They've
the
They've been
PayPal.
Very kind.
Yes. Yeah, including one that just came in this week. Very generous donation from Steve Therian from Canada. Thank you very much, sir. If you want to be among those elite that, one or two people that donate to the show, you can head over to our page. There's a PayPal button there. We would greatly appreciate it. We don't make any money doing this. We do it purely for the joy and love, and you are our love.
Now, I've always said a podcast is not a podcast without listeners, because it's always it would just be an MP3 sitting around.
And we might still end up doing it.
And with that, I want to shout out to the chat room. Tim Elliott actually reminded me of that. So I want to do that real quick.
He does learn something after 10 years.
Wow. Listen to the listeners. So we have Jeremy Kyle, Mark Kilfoyle, Victor Kayal, and Tim Elliott. Tim is a big longtime listener. He's actually been asking me, are y'all doing the show when we're not doing the show?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he's very good about that. And I think that's about it in the chat room. So I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us.
It's very awesome.
Do you guys still have an online presence? Because we Craig and I were driving back yesterday and said, you know, we ought to really like give props to the people who show up.
No, not really.
You online presence for what exactly?
I don't know. Personal website, podcast?
No.
No, I'm Flickr. Page.
You can find me on Facebook, but I don't go to Facebook anymore, so I might respond.
I'm on Facebook, but I also still do voice work on occasion too. So
okay, next.
I'm never working with that step guy again. Never.
He's a hack.
Step off.
Yeah, there you go. Jack, are you still online somewhere?
Well, you know, the Deadpan podcast did retire about a year or something ago, but, you know, the community's still there.
You have a podcast?
I did, yeah. Everyone at Parsec, but yeah, it was there.
Oh, man. Oh, like this one right here?
Like that one right there.
It was all fixed.
No, it was. Congratulations to all of you. So I kid. So the community is still there. It's cool that, you know, Brian really nailed it. Once again, Brian nailed
it. It's
a great comment because the friendships and community and
absolutely
contacts have made, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Podcast has brought together a lot of people, which we probably wouldn't have met at some point, but because we all have a common interest, it's really brought us together, and I think it's cool.
Well, I truly want to just thank you guys for just keeping it going. The studio and all this. I mean, it's awesome just to have a place to come and do this.
Feels like home.
Hey, it was.
Yeah. Exactly. For Michael, much more so.
It's like coming home again. Well, wait a minute.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, it is weird for me walking here because for so many years, you and I, I spent how many Saturdays, how many Sundays, how many weekdays here?
Mm-hmm.
And so
Wednesdays for a while?
Wednesdays for a long while.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, those are brutal days.
Yeah. 9 podcasts a week. I was insane. What the hell was I thinking?
Oh, I thought you were just on a drinking binge.
No. Well, that was part of it, too. That's how we got through it.
I was going to say, scotch was the fluid that kept things going.
It was the podcasting fluid.
It's the glue that brought us all together.
That's right.
It's the first drink of the day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's totally what it is. Oh, no, don't bring that shit. The show that shall not be named.
They're going back to therapy now.
Yes.
No, I mean, it is nice, and I'm really glad that you guys have opened your house again to us as well to come and hang out with you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and again, you know, thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Our pleasure.
Hey, by the way, in the chat room, they're all saying, I'm a dork. I'm a dork.
Okay. In response to what? Okay.
They're dorks?
I think they're relating to Brian over here.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're all big dorks.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this? Technorama Tourette's or something?
It's the contraception camp. Contraception camp. That's what it is.
Yeah. Right.
On that note.
Hey, by the way, I replied, so dork we all.
Bravo. Golf clap for you, sir.
Thank you.
If you are an angry listener, call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. Or, you know, it's not too late to just say, hey, wish us happy 10th anniversary. Even if it's 5 years late, we'll take it. Give us a shout out and we will play it for you. Call the listener line, 206-222-2428. Or if you're outside the U.S. and you just want to send an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you as well. You know, even Facebook messages, you can record an audio message. We'll be happy to play that, too. There's so many ways to get us information. Go to our webpage, chuckchat.com/technorama, or just click on the Technorama thing. All the information is there about the Facebook page, the Google Plus. Gentlemen, any closing words in the next 45 seconds?
Just thank you very much.
Bread.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Rumpelstiltskin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, you just got back from Vegas. There was enough of that. And thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us and listening and downloading. We hope you do it again. I know there may be a few new listeners because we made a bunch of new contacts this last week. And if you happen to be one of those, welcome aboard! The train left 10 years ago, but you're welcome to jump on at any point. And if you care to do so, tell another friend about Technorama. And I think we need a group binary high five.
All right.
Ready?
Okay.
Hit it!
101.
Yeehaw.
Or 1010.
Yes, because that's 10 in binary.
That's right.
Smarty pants.
Google told me so.